LibertyNation.com does not endorse candidates, campaigns, or legislation, and this presentation is no endorsement. NASCAR announces, the car of tomorrow is here, and it's racism.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
A president! Can you believe it?
This is somebody who knows what's right and what's wrong.
You know what podcasts are, by the way?
Talk shows for people who cannot make it in talk radio.
I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up, do the right thing for a change.
I think possibly that's the most unattractive form in which prejudice can be met in this country, is the rage of the entitled.
Welcome back to The Uprising, podcast of LibertyNation.com, and I'm your host, Scott Cosenza, and I'm joined today by two very special beings that have both appeared on The Uprising before, not in any particular order. First, we have Lisa K. Donner, editor-in-chief of LibertyNation.com. Thank you for joining, Lisa.
Glad to be here, Scott.
From Studio L, as in Lisa's office. And here with me in Studio C is Archie the Podcasting Dog, rejoining the show. And I assure you, he's downstairs not because I had a plate of some rib leftovers that I gave him, but because of his thirst for participation in the podcast. All right, now, Tim Donner, our standard contributor, has taken the week to think about his white privilege and how he can be a better ally to communities of color. And we salute that and grant his sabbatical. But we have Lisa here. And Lisa is here for a couple reasons. We got mentioned, negatively or positively, we'll talk about that, in the pages of the Washington Post and labeled as a right-wing website, LibertyNation.com, the host for today's program, or the sponsor for today's program. And she also wrote about Sean King's, it seemed to me, a call to arms to start violently attacking churches across the United States. That's how I read it. It's about Jesus and race. So welcome again, Lisa, and back to The Uprising.
Good to be here, Scott. So much to talk about, so little time.
All right, let's talk about the Post thing first. It was an interesting way to wake up. They ran an article that, why don't you draw a thumbnail sketch of it for everybody, if you would.
So a researcher, an associate professor from a German, I'm not sure I can pronounce it, a Free Universitat Berlin. His name is Neufer. Neufer, it's spelled K-N-U with a little...
Well, sure, umlauts, come on, that's the best...
P-F-E-R, wow. Sure.
All right, we don't get to get quite so granular, I think, for the...
he suggests that no substantial evidence... Okay, let me just read this.
Go ahead.
No substantial evidence suggests that dangerous Antifa terrorists are threatening public safety or even that any Antifa organization exists. And throughout the whole article, he refers to Antifa with a small a, because so, I guess it doesn't exist, according to Mr.
And Lisa. The point of it is to say that the reason why there is this association with Antifa and violence is because of websites like LibertyNation.com, for instance, that are manufacturing this association that doesn't exist in reality. Is that
Yes, we ginned up the whole cement that was thrown in the face of
Andy Ngo.
We ginned up stuff going on in Berkeley, California. We've made this all up because there is no evidence, substantial evidence, that Antifa, the organization, even exists. And he goes on.
I stop you right there and just say one thing? Because I think this is an important, for me, it's an important point to make. When people say that it's not an organization, no one is suggesting, I think, on the sort of the anti-Antifa side, that they have an organization akin to like the U.S. military with a clearly delineated hierarchy and exacting chains of command. We're not suggesting that at all. But to suggest that these are all just spontaneous eruptions of statue desecration that are absent organization is also ridiculous. They're clearly acting in concert with messaging and their group action. And so anyway, I just wanted to say that nobody's, so when we're saying they're organized, we're just saying that they're organized. We're not saying they're specifically hierarchical or in any other way, you know, akin to other organizations.
Look, we're a news and information and analysis website. We state that we're conservative. We are not in the business of ginning up different political factions. We have no interest in that. And I personally take it as an insult, and I am offended, and I will state categorically, we are not a far right white, far right
that was the white supremacy coming right out of her. The Lebanese girl from Pittsburgh, by the way.
She can still sell seashells on the seashore. That much I can do.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to disagree with you and correct you as editor in chief. We're not conservative. We're conservatarian. We often publish views of libertarian thought that are in direct conflict with traditional conservatism of many stripes. And those pieces would never find a home in the pages of a truly conservative publication. So we're about the only thing we really don't publish, for the most part, is really far left opinion. And the reason why I say that is, and hear me out on this, we actually do publish mainstream liberal opinion. Here's how we do that. Mainstream liberal opinion and mainstream conservative opinion are relatively similar on most issues, with the exception of perhaps like guns and abortion. But on wars, for instance, they're similar. Spending issues, there's a little. So the breadth of ideology that you find on libertynation.com, with the exception of the Antifa-style radical lefty, it's pretty much all there.
Right, but let me just correct you. Since I'm your boss, I get the last word, and that is we are conservative, but we're also libertarian. I mean, I like to consider us a free thought website, letting a thousand flowers bloom. Now again, you're right. We're not going to generally promote the radical left at all. And we do have a point of view, and we're very open about that. But we're also, I feel like we're a very honest website. And I feel like this kind of research
are as honest as we can be.
Yeah. And this research that was done today, where we were specifically named along with other heinous organizations like Fox News and Breitbart.
I actually thought you were serious there. I was like, what organization was she?
Yeah. No, we were specifically named in Western Journal.
Let me say this, when in the comparison with us, with Breitbart and others, you will not find those horrid, endless cascades of pop-up ads on the libertynation.com website. And that is why I refuse to visit so many of those other sites. It has nothing to do with the content, but the user experience is horrible. And at libertynation.com, whether it's on the app, on the mobile platform, or desktop, we strive to make it a positive user experience.
Thank you. Yes, we do. We're, I would say, pretty much 99% ad-free. And according to Mr. Koopner's article, we did score well in the ad category, which I thought was really funny. But look, you know, I think it's a sad state of affairs when you know, there's pictures, there's photographs, there's tons of evidence that this organization does exist and that it does have violent tendencies, without a doubt. To say that it's created by radical right-wing websites, I think, is really a bridge too far.
Especially at a time in the country when the attacks, they were in D.C. yesterday trying to tear down another statue. Do you know about this, the emancipation thing that they're trying to tear down?
Last I heard, it was the Andrew Jackson.
This is far worse. Listen to this, Lisa. There is a memorial in D.C. called the Emancipation Memorial to celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation. It has a Abraham Lincoln standing there holding the broken chain, I think, of and a chain going to a kneeling man who is a newly freed slave is what he is, right? But he's on his knee and he's like in front of Lincoln, down on his knee, and they act like it is some kind of monument to slavery. Lisa, emancipated slaves paid for that statue to be built and erected to celebrate their emancipation and honor Abraham Lincoln, who they thought was responsible for it. I've got a quibble with that that we can pick up another day, but I know that you know it well. But the point is, it was to honor Lincoln's service to enslaved peoples by freeing them. And this is a man who's getting up off of his knees in freedom, and they want to tear it down.
Well, didn't Ulysses S. Grant, that statue was torn down. Look, there's a lot being done out of ignorance. And I think a civil society has to have some degree of education. And the media is responsible for educating the public, or it largely was back in the day. Let me just tell you a story. When I first moved to Washington, Scott, I had the Washington Post, this is 34 years ago, Washington Post was the gold standard. I had opportunity to go to a luncheon, meet with and briefly chat with Katharine Graham. She was, if nothing, a very formidable lady. And I've often thought back to that conversation, however brief it was with her, and wondered what she would make of where her family's newspaper and legacy has been taken. It really saddens me.
So when we were talking about the piece earlier today, I immediately bucked, just like I did on this podcast. When you say we're conservative, I bucked when I read that we're right wing. And the reason, you know, there's two reasons why I don't like that label. A, I just think, I know that it's completely inaccurate. And B, I know that it's applied in order to silence us, because there's a significant portion of the Washington Post readership, when they read that we're a right-wing site, they can just discount all the things that we publish because that's their programming. So that's why I want to, you know, kind of challenge on both of those points.
Let me just say that I do think the underbelly of this article is really to make sites like ours out to be, you know, purveyors of hate and violence, so that at some point we can all be banned together.
By the way, that's just the icing on the cake. For sure. Right. Laying the groundwork. I'm sure that the Southern Poverty Law Center will be out with a report about our hatred talk, whatever, soon. But what I was looping back around to was, I was saying that, you know, I was challenging the notion to you, and you said, "Oh, well, dig up a couple of pieces for me that, you know, prove the point or whatever." And I just went back in the archive. I was like, "Oh, what were some of, like, how early can I go to find a piece that dispels the notion that we're right wing?" And of course, we launched the site when Donald Trump took his oath of office. So there's only a few years to look through. And the very first piece that Liberty Nation published that I wrote was an obituary of Nat Hentoff. And for people who don't know, Mr. Hentoff, 16-year, I think, columnist for the Washington Post, famous liberal, stalwart defender of free speech. That's what I did. And I don't know if you saw, Lisa, I didn't tell you this, but in my research, I saw, like, two pieces after that was me calling the Washington Post a bunch of liars. Liars, by the way, they implicated Betsy DeVos in saying that she was for schools having the right to keep and bear arms because of bears, of a danger of bear attacks. Anyway, it was just a convenient way for them to attack Betsy DeVos. And as uprising listeners know, I don't allow that anywhere near this program, Lisa.
Well, as I said in my response to the WAPO article, I have no interest in playing David against the Washington Post Goliath. But some things just cannot stand. And I think, you know, this was a time when these kind of allegations that Antifa may not exist as an organization, and there's no scientific evidence to show that it is threatening public safety, you know, it just needs to be countered.
I had a conversation with somebody, Lisa, who read one of my articles about a recent Supreme Court ruling on LibertyNation.com, and they said the best part about the article was that they had to read like 5 or 6 paragraphs until they knew what my opinion of the ruling was. And so that was, you know, a compliment that, you know, it's not just about narrative, you know?
Well, you know, recently that happened, I think, on a phone call between the two of us. You told me the decision and I said, I would guess that's really good. And you said, no, I don't think it's good at all. And,
right.
You know, well, but that's what liberty is all. The true liberty, true freedom, you know, is an expression of different ideas, a back and forth, a dialogue. And that's what makes us sharper. That's what makes us smarter. That's what makes us stronger.
No, only if they're the right ideas. If they're the wrong ideas, then you have to use violence to punish the other person for expressing them and get them fired from their job and make sure their kids will never talk to them again. That's what liberalism is today, I think, Lisa. All right.
I'm not going to jump on that soapbox.
All right, let's talk about your other story that you did this week about Sean King and Jesus. Why don't you, I'm sure that not everybody knows what happened. Please tell them.
Well, the story's titled Jesus, Latest Victim of the Cancel Culture. And basically, Mr. King tweeted out that...
While you look for that tweet, I'll remind everyone that Sean King is the fake black guy who became prominent during the Michael Brown Black Lives Matter resurgence. And he makes his living ginning up race hate. Well, how the right way to say it is, he's what is he? He's a social media maven who directs people to give money to political action committees that he's a beneficiary of. It seems like how he makes his money. Is that fair to say?
Well, he's a race activist. I don't know that you should say that he. I don't know. You called him a fake black person. I don't know.
He's a white guy. This is Sean. You don't even know that. You don't even know this cold to me shows that the failure is in on our side of the aisle by not really having make sure people know this. He is a fake black guy. He cuts his hair to look like a black kind of a black person's hair might be cut. But he could grow out luscious like, you know, yeah, I mean, this is part of his whole thing. He's like Rachel Dolezal. This guy is.
Well, whatever his shtick is, he tweeted out this week, yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been. And he goes on to say that stained glass windows should be broken.
Oh, excuse me. Let's focus in on that just for a second, because what's the easiest thing for a person to do in terms of committing a really horrible act of vandalism is pick up a rock and throw it through a priceless piece of stained glass. It's Kristallnacht against Christians advocated by this terrorist. That's what he's advocating for. I think it's so vile and disgusting.
Okay, now tell me how you really feel.
I'll tell you how I really feel. The end of this road is race war. I mean that sincerely. The end of this road is we all have to now gather up. It's a prison culture. Well, that's why, you know, that where you the only person that you can ally and be trusting with is a person of your same skin color or tribe. And I think it's literally the exact opposite of individual liberty. It's because it's collective. It's probably not liberty. It's tyranny, but it's collectivized. It's not individual. And as you know, that's the thing that animates me the most is freedom for everybody. Because that to me is the one true kind of richness that we can give each other in life. And you can minister to people for a religious perspective on that if you want. But to me, it is the best thing we can hope for in life is that we're able to try to meet our needs, whether they're spiritual, financial, emotional, you know, with the freedom to do so as long and not infringe on others to do it. And that's the best we can kind of hope for as in terms of rules of society, you know? And this is the enemy of that. It's all about the color of your skin. It's so awful.
Well, I think when we get to the point where we reduce everything down to black and white, whether it's race, whether it's art, I think we miss something very powerful and very inspirational. I mean, diversity has been a word that has been co-opted by the left. But honestly, I think when I think of the diversity of colors, I think of Henri Matisse and the amazing brush strokes he was able to make with vibrant hues of blues and greens. I think that anyone, you don't have to be a Christian to stand in front of the Pietà or the Sistine Chapel and weep just over its sheer beauty. I think people like Sean King, above all, are to be pitied for, you know, wanting to live a monochrome, a black or white existence.
No. You pity him all the way to the bank. He's cashing in. He is a race hustler, okay? That's what this guy does. He's cha-ching. There are plenty of people in that universe that seem to be sincere brokers, but he hears any allegation against a white person, especially if they're a police officer, God forbid, and he just broadcasts it like he did. You know, this goes back to what we were talking about before when I was saying that we're as honest as we can be. You know, we run down facts, we fact check, we confirm things. We're often, we refuse to just publish something that just some other publication says, unless we explicitly say, you know, the Washington Post says X, right? When we try not to use that a lot. Sean King is the exact opposite of that. He is a person who hears one thing and just spouts it off. If it's negative about a white person or the police to an audience of millions, it's one thing if you just do it on the dinner table and say, oh, zero Twitter, somebody said this. Oh, yeah, it's an outrage. But you've got an audience of millions. You have a responsibility. And his responsibility seems to be most of all to his pocketbook.
But Scott, I think when you reduce everything down to what race it is, including images, you know, Jesus the Christ and Jesus the man is not black or white. He is black and white. He is.
Well, wait a second here. Hold on. This is so good that I have you here. All right. No, hold on. Just stop for a second.
God.
Hold on. Just for a second. Because this is a good. Your bona fides as a Christian are beyond question here. So you're representing all Christendom here for this answer. Your perspective is that Jesus Christ was an actual human being that lived and died, right? And walked on this earth.
Yes.
And what did his hair look like? Did it look like a black person's hair or a white person's hair? Was he a blonde?
As I said in the thing, you know, in the article, Jesus was Jewish through and through. That is his race.
Okay.
Period. Beginning and ending.
There you go. And that takes away any anti-Semitism charges against you because you devote your life to the worship of a Jewish man. So good on you.
All right. I won't even go there, but, you know, as we're all made in God's image, if you pay any attention at all to the first chapter of the Bible.
Okay.
And
I don't typically. So.
Yeah. Well, I think arguing about the race of Jesus is to miss the essence of the subject.
All right. I want to talk for just a little bit about this this race car story, Bubba Wallace. It seems to me this is part of the whole problem that we have here.
Can you give us a quick rundown of exactly what happened? Because your article, you went like five or six paragraphs before I got to the fact that it was like a garage thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If that's
a garage pulled down. Like,
by the way, five awesome paragraphs before I got to the part that it was a garage thing.
Before you had the clicker, right?
Right, right.
When I was growing up, my dad, you know, we always had the rope.
Uh-huh. Well, that's, by the way. Did you have a rope, Lisa, or did your dad have a racist noose on his garage door in order to pull it down? Because that's what happened at Bubba's garage. Bubba Wallace is the, by the way, the funny thing is he's not, he's black like Barack Obama's black. He's half white and half black, which is just kind of interesting. All the news stories just keep referring to him as a black man when he's literally exactly half white and exactly half.
Well, maybe that's Sean King and you haven't given him his due. Oh,
you're so wrong about this. This is so great. I'm going to have to find like a, I'm sure there's like a 25-minute YouTube documentary that just drills down on each individual data point as to proving why Sean King is not black, but he's not. And just if you take another look at him with that in mind, you'll see how he's crafted the, you know, to try to look black appearance.
But don't we live in a world where you can say whatever you want to say?
Yeah, well, he's, yeah, right. That, by the way, that's it. No, black is the new black. You could say whatever you want. You can't get fired. Meanwhile, like a black person could just like show your license plate on Facebook and say something bad about you. And before you even get a chance to send off an email that says it wasn't true, that you're fired from your job.
All right. All right. All right. We're going to hear nothing but that we're crazy right wing radicals. All right. Go to NASCAR nightmare, so, the noose that never was.
So the story comes out. NASCAR says a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage. He says,
NASCAR said this or the man Wallace said this?
No. NASCAR says a noose was found in his garage. Here's how the chain of custody of this whole thing went. Somebody from Wallace's team, the number 43 team, I think, in NASCAR, reported it to the crew chief. The crew chief reported it to NASCAR, and NASCAR started an investigation. Now, the thing is, we don't hear that NASCAR called the FBI. The FBI did start an investigation. By the way, this racist society that we live in sent 15 FBI agents to NASCAR to deal with this noose. They don't send any of them to protect statues of quote unquote supposed, you know, racists.
Your tax dollars at work, Scott. Yeah. Come on.
So NASCAR says, it's a heinous racist act. Heinous racist act, right? And they say the noose was found. And when you think of a noose being found, and I was almost going to, and I just didn't have the time to do it. I was going to go to Home Depot and buy, you know, a length of like.
Oh, you are good rope to get us banned in Boston for
no,
sure.
No, I was going to demonstrate with a visual aid the difference between. Anyway. Any Clint Eastwood movie you saw a hangman's noose, you know what a noose is. They slip it around the guy's neck. The point of it is when weight's applied to it, it slips down on and ever tightening. That's not a good loop to pull a garage door handle from, by the way. It's a very specific thing, and that's why they say it was a noose. So they say a noose found. Well, it was the guy who runs Conservative Treehouse that I first saw break this story, but he had a picture of that garage area from a previous race that had a loop in the rope handle. And then NASCAR showed an open photo of, and I realize this is like a little bit behind the grassy knoll here, but I mean, sincerely, it is, to me, it's fascinating. It is the anatomy, Lisa, of an internationally charged race story that demonizes a lot of Americans, the NASCAR fan base, you know? So that photo showed a bunch of garage scenes and one of the handles had a pull on it. And then the other one was cut short. And that was the Bubba Wallace garage. And the speculation was, wait, they cut that off. Cause that was the noose in question that they cut off. So, right. That guy, Sundance, proceeds to kind of press the case. Was this the noose that they were talking about? And
Sundance is the Conservative Treehouse guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so anyway, he follows up with some automotive journalists who follow up with the president of NASCAR. And I wrote about this.
Right. That's the guy who was crying.
That is the guy that was crying. Well, I wrote about this issue, as you know, Lisa, in the pages of LibertyNation.com. And before I go into that more, I will just say that LibertyNation.com is the sponsor of today's podcast, where truth is making a comeback. Liberty Nation is also a proud partner of the mega aggregator site, WhatFinger.com. To get your daily fix of news and politics from a conservative perspective, make sure to hit LibertyNation.com and whatfinger.com. All right, so...
Or better yet, do a search on Google for Liberty Nation.
Okay, that'll help the SEO. There you go. Do Lisa a solid and help the SEO out. All right.
Thank you.
So...
All right, Steve Phelps. We're up to Steve Phelps' crime.
He is the... I need you here all the time for that. That's the best. He's the president of NASCAR. He's not like a communications director or lackey or local track executive. He is the guy who runs NASCAR.
So he's the racist in chief.
And they ask him, can you confirm whether this was a garage pull handle or not? And he says, no, I don't know anything about that. Like, no, I'm not sure. I don't know. So he didn't even look or investigate how this was, you know, this noose was found. And by the way, again, they use the word a noose was found, which to me makes it seem like somebody put it on the car in an obvious place. Like, hey, hey, black guy, this is what you have like coming, you know, looking to look forward to, right? Like that kind of a thing. Well, that's not what happened. And then when I almost called him Jussie Smollett, and I just want to say this, I don't think the guy is Jussie Smollett. He's not nearly like that. He's just riding this. This is a good time, actually, you know, you mentioned they're going to call us, whatever. Let me just put my cards on the table, what I think is going on here. This guy sucks as a race car driver at the pro level. He's really good at the levels to the pros, to NASCAR. But he got to NASCAR because of an affirmative action program, not because he was really fast. And I just think that it's easier to be a celebrity than it is to be a successful race car driver. And that's what's kind of behind all this. He just
okay. Let's just back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was an actual drive for diversity program.
Yeah, he was. Oh. It was an affirmative action thing.
I just thought we should support that with facts.
Oh okay. Yeah, absolutely. On Don Lemon's show, and that's the other thing too. He didn't go on Lisa Motorsports channels today, to talk about right. this. He went on The View, and he went on
today,
right. He went on he didn't talk to Dave Despain. He talked to the View, and he talked to Don Lemon the night after the FBI said it wasn't a hate crime. What Bubba said was on the Don Lemon show, a noose over my car, over my car. Now again, I don't even know that he consciously thought about the meaning of those words, or he just unconsciously spoke words that would advance the narrative that he's a victim. But a noose tied onto the corner garage pull string is entirely different than one hung over my car, which again envisions the hangman's gallows of a hastily organized lynching of a black man, which is what he wants us to think about. So that's why I'm saying he's now about narrative pushing. This again is after, you know, it's been found to not be a race crime.
Let me just ask this question.
Go ahead.
And this is obviously what the FBI found. Aren't all of these ropes that are attached to the garage doors to open and close them because they don't have a clicker, which I think they probably should invest in.
You know that was a bad idea if you'd spent much time at the track, because guys would constantly go home to Charlotte for the weekend with the clicker, and then everybody would say, where's the extra clicker? And then you'd be, you know.
So attach it to the wall. Look, the bottom line is, his can't be the only garage.
It's not. Lisa, in my article, I linked to a video from 1997, which includes a walkthrough of the paddock. It shows many of the garage ropes that have a hitch in them, a loop to pull down. I mean, it's very common. When I was a kid, my garage door had the same thing.
I don't know. But he insists it was a noose. And so you said now he's famous, not as a race car driver, but as a victim. Let me just expound upon that a little bit, or ask for some exposition, I should say. Why do people want to be victims? What is the purpose and the goal of victimhood?
The best person I've ever heard on that is Jonathan Haidt, Haidt. And Jonathan Haidt says that we have now virtuized victimhood to the point where there's just a great value in being a victim in many segments of society. So instead of just being, I don't know what the right word is, seen to, which is what I guess we would want to have for victims, right? That they were seen to in ways that were supportive of them and their victimhood. They're now elevated. And I know that this isn't the example that you were going to think about when you said this, but like you think of John McCain, for instance, okay, who was elevated for his prisoner of war experience when I think you and I both have the same perspective on that, which is we have a great deal of sympathy for horrors we can't even really imagine that he went through while there, but also that that conveys no virtue on him in policymaking or other areas. But he did get that. And that's sort of a, on, you know, that's how it works.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, let me say that the most eloquent I've ever heard anybody talked about victimhood was Jeff Charles, our own Liberty Nation socio-cultural correspondent. And he said that he thinks victimhood is really a bad thing that holds back a lot of Black people, and that it doesn't really help.
Lisa, I've seen some headlines, and certainly it's been on Twitter, Bubba Wallace is the Jackie Robinson of racing. And for people who know what Jackie Robinson went through, boy, is that... That's horrible to say, I think. And more importantly, racing did have a Jackie Robinson. And believe it or not, and this is not a joke, his name was Willie T. Ribbs. That was the Black man's name, who was a famous race car driver, who was a real champion, a winner. And he actually went to tracks where people would have signs that, you know, they said N-word, get out of here, and things like, I mean, like overt, disgusting, horrible, vitriolic racism. And do you know what Willie T. Ribbs did with that hate? You know what he said to those racists?
No.
Well, he didn't say they can't come to the racetrack, or he was not going to race anymore. He said, you can get me out of racing anytime you want. Just beat me.
Ah, I love that.
And that's the kind of reaction that I think we had before victimhood. And that's the reason why I went through getting through that point, was that's what we had before victimhood became its own value. There's now value in being a victim. You know, I remember listening to Jonathan Haidt, and he was talking about years gone by, if a student in class maybe heard the professor say something that they were offended by or disagreed with, they might contact the professor privately or wait to speak with them after class, for instance. And now it's right away, like on a social media platform, that they'll complain. And the reason why is because they don't get they don't actually want a correction in the offense. That offense is like currency to them. It's like one of the best thing that could have ever happened to them. They're now, they get to be a hero for being a victim.
I think that's a really sad state of affairs. Professional victimhood is no way to go through life. As you know, I'm the mother of two kids on the spectrum. And you know what? I want my kids to grow up to be are individuals who can do what they want. They have freedom and liberty to choose and to do, and I think the soft bigotry of low expectations, as someone once said, is really a very negative thing. And I think this victimhood plays right into that.
For Lisa K. Donner, editor-in-chief of LibertyNation.com, this is Scott DeCosenza. Thanks so much for listening. For Archie, the podcasting dog as well, somewhere in the sound of my voice. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. And as I always end and sign off with, liberty all the time and everywhere.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay ahead of the curve with LibertyNation.com. With one click, you get tomorrow's news today with LNTV's Hot Topics and Analysis, Liberty Nation Radio, The Uprising and Rabbit Hole Podcasts, and dozens of insightful original articles. And now, you can keep your kids ahead of the curve with LNGenZ.com. LNGenZ brings a free-thinking education right into your home for students of every grade level with articles, videos, worksheets, and ready-to-go curriculum. While the media establishment giants are sleeping, you can stay ahead of the curve with LibertyNation.com and get tomorrow's news today. LibertyNation.com.